back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. There's a potential crisis brewing, an odd one. There is a group called the G20, 20 countries of the largest economies in the world, and they are going to meet this fall, and this time the location is in Indonesia, in a place called Bali. You've heard about that. Remember Bali? I think it was mentioned in, I don't know if it was mentioned in the musical South Pacific, but I think the in one of the Road movies, you know, Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. I forget if there was the Road to this and the Road to that. I don't know if there's a Road to the Bali, but basically it's seen in folklore as a romantic resort area, and it is. Apparently it is. I've not been to Bali. But that's where the G20 is meeting, and usually presidents and prime ministers show up. So Biden's supposed to go. Biden's supposed to go. There's a thing called the G7, used to be called the G8, of the seven largest economies in the world. That is the big kahuna. That is the 800-pound gorilla. That is the one that matters economically for the whole world. Russia had been in it when it was called the G8. Why is it the G7 now, and why was Russia admitted? Russia does not have the eighth largest economy in the world. It has about the 13th largest, about the same size as Italy. Italy's a lot smaller country. Italy's in the G7, though. And the G7 threw out Russia. They had brought them in, even though they didn't qualify as in size of the economy. They had brought them in because, well, what the heck? They have nuclear weapons and they're a big country. And remember, ranking economies is difficult. Believe it or not, you know what the fifth largest economy in the world is? The fifth largest? California, state of California. You know what the 10th largest is? New York, the state of New York. So you can't have both of them at the G7 along with the United States, and so basically you let a few others slip in. When Putin went into Crimea and then the Donbass and started to kill people back in 2014, everybody got together and threw them out. He was a skunk. They didn't want him in. He was a skunk, a murderous skunk. So he has not shown up to G7 meetings. Trump, who betrayed us to Putin, Trump assured Putin that he would withdraw us from NATO. And he laid the groundwork in his first term, kept saying, well, we probably better get out of NATO. Senate leaders said to him, it's a treaty. You can't just pull us out of that treaty. And he said, watch me. Because here's the sad fact. Let's say that he says, we're out of NATO. Goes to the Supreme Court. They say, you can't do it without Congress. He says, fine. But I'm still the commander in chief. I'm the guy that sends planes and soldiers, and I'm not sending them over there. Effectively, the president, by shooting his mouth off, can pull us out of NATO, whether he does it legally or not. And that's what Trump was doing. That's why Putin put him in 2016, hacking into emails, all of the false stuff on Facebook and Twitter. He had a Russian agent. He had a Russian agent as president of the United States. And if he'd gotten him back in 2020, his dream, Putin's dream, of extending the Russian Empire back into Europe, gobbling up Eastern Europe, breaking up the EU, would have been achieved. Fortunately, Trump didn't win. Biden won. So there's a pause on that. But Putin is still up to his old tricks. Now, get back to Bali. The United States asked the G20 to throw Russia out of the G20. But India's in it. Of course, China's in it. Places like Indonesia, you know, they trade with Russia. They don't obey our sanctions. And they were reluctant to do it. So here's the thing. What happens if Putin shows up personally and Biden shows up? What, are they going to shake hands? Biden has correctly said that he can't stay in power, that he's a war criminal and he has to be brought before a criminal court. Here are some of the things that are being discussed. One of them is to send a lower level person, So it wouldn't be Putin. It would be, say, Janet Yellen, Secretary of Treasury, for instance. That's just an example. Or if they really wanted to diss him, they'd have, you know, one of her deputies show up. And if people complain, they'd say, look, you're talking the United States. You all depend on us. Let's come correct with some respect. And she or whoever the designee would be instructed not to shake hands with Putin and show up near him. It's possible Putin won't show for a couple of reasons. One is it can't be pleasant being an international pariah, outcast, seen as a criminal. That can't be pleasant. The second thing is he's got a fear of assassination, and not by anybody at the G20, but by other sociopaths, thieves, and murderers among the oligarchs and in the Russian government who want to steal his action. The minute he flies to Bali and goes roaming around Bali, there are also Islamic militants in Bali. They bombed a resort some years ago and killed 250 people in Bali. And actually, they like Putin more than they like the United States. These are murderous. However, Putin sided with Iran in the Syrian war and killed Sunnis, stood up for the Shiites. Both of them export terror to the United States and to Europe. But Putin has a lot of enemies, and he may not show. And even if he does show, this is an economic summit. What do you talk about? Well, here's what I think about national debt. Oh, really? You're being sanctioned. Your banks can't borrow money. Nobody will take rubles. There are no goods on your shelves. You're an international pariah. Why would you have an international pariah show up to lecture people about economics? My guess is that Putin does not show up, but he sends one of his fellow travelers or running dogs, something like Sergey Lavrov, his foreign minister, or Dmitry Medvedev, who had been president for a while as a seat warmer for Putin. That's what I think is going to happen. I also think that Biden will certainly not go if Putin goes. But if I were Biden, I think what I would say is this. Biden goes to the G7. The G20 has some sort of marginal economies. And that's fine. They're all good people. We should deal with them. But Janet Yellen or somebody like that can do the job. So I'm not sure Putin shows up. And in any event, I don't see how it's in Biden's interest or the U.S.'s interest to show up, especially because of some reports that have just been coming out in the last 24 hours, 48 hours from Ukraine. The Russian army in the eastern part of Ukraine, where they have more dominance than in the western part, raped a woman, burned a swastika on her body, and then killed her and left her corpse. There have been many reports of their raping women in front of their children because the men are off fighting. That's why so many women and children have gone to Poland and Romania. The other thing that they have done is they have pulled out the tongues of some civilians. If they interrogate somebody and they don't like what they say, they'll yank out his tongue. That's something that was done in the Middle Ages. That was something that was done in Asia, up beyond the Middle Ages. This is Russia. This is Russia. It was a civilized European country. Not only are they killing civilians, but they are torturing civilians. I believe, and this will have to be borne out, but I believe that this is the work partially of the Wagner Group and some Chechenian militants, Islamic militants. The reason I say that is this. There are a lot of Russian soldiers that were not told where they were going, thought they were going on a peacekeeping mission. They were not given equipment, and they were not even given food that they can eat. What do I mean by that? You get field rations in the army. Our field, you're not talking like a seven-course dinner here, okay? But, I mean, at least it should be food that's recognizable and that tastes a little bit good and is nourishing. They gave them field rations that have been stored in warehouses for decades. They'd open it up. It was moldy. They couldn't eat it. They didn't care. And they said, okay, go steal food from the locals. Well, some of these Russians have deserted. They just walk away from their tanks. They tell the Ukrainian soldiers, hold up their hands, I'm not going to fight you. Some of them, as they withdraw out of vengeance and humiliation, maybe torturing people, but the Wagner Group specializes in it. The Wagner Group is a mercenary, murderous force that is owned, it's a business, by a Russian oligarch, very close to Putin. And Putin called him up and said, I want 1,000 Wagner mercenaries in Ukraine. Right now, they're operating in Mali, which is an African country. What happens in Africa, a lot of these people are despots who run countries. If they have political unrest, they have areas that they don't do well in the polls, which are usually cooked anyway, they'll send mercenaries in to kill everybody in the village. And there was a report that just came over the wire this morning. In a village in Mali, they went in, a village of about 10,000 people. They rounded up and killed 300 men. Just flat out killed them. These are Wagner Group. Why is it called the Wagner Group? Because this oligarch close to Putin who owns them is a real fan of Richard Wagner, the opera guy, opera man. Remember the Ring Cycle and all that kind of thing? You know, chicks with horns, that kind of thing. That's Wagner. There's a great saying, Mark Twain said it. He said, all you need to know about opera is that Wagner's music is better than it sounds. Now, here's the deal. This sociopath and murderer is lending these people out to do the same stuff in Ukraine. That has got to stop. That is one reason among many to get the jets and the weapons to Zelensky ASAP. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.